مدنی مذاکرات، مدنی مذاکرات، مدنی مذاکرات، مدنی مذاکرات.
الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على خاتم النبيين، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله، وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله، وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Booklet Blessings of Salat and Salam, saying of the final messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Number 10. Whoever recites Salat upon me 1,000 times a day will not die until he sees his abode in paradise. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. Well, anger is something that everyone gets angry, even animals get angry, even one day old baby does. Just as an example, the baby cries if it doesn't get milk. So whilst doing so, even the baby at times is in anger. However, there are certain people who commit a sin due to their anger. There's a door specified for such people whose anger only cools down after committing a sin. When angry, a person ends up swearing, disrespecting, quarreling, arguing, fighting, and so many things. The person ends up committing oppression in anger. There's a specific door of hell for such people. Now, the one who suppresses his anger is deserving of reward. As in, he who had the power of exercising his anger, but despite this he doesn't exercise it. For him, it will be said to him on the day of judgment that he may take any hur with him and enter paradise. So anger itself is not something bad. It is a test. Now either a person does good in it or bad. If he suppresses his anger, it is also an act of reward. As in, you became angry upon someone and it was also the fault of the other person, and now you forgive him. This is also an act of reward. So in this context, anger also gives you reward. Now you see what the public says, that anger is haram. This is not correct. It is just a public notion, nothing else. And at times when you become renowned for anger, that is also a cause and a means for you becoming angry. You say about someone that he's very short-tempered, and you're very short-tempered, then psychologically, it is possible that the other person will become angry and short-tempered. Those who are very close to me would know how angry a person I am. Meaning, I very rarely become angry or furious. And even if it does, it is not of a type where I'll quarrel or fight. I came to know about myself after my marriage. There was a rumor about me that I'm very short-tempered. So what should I say on this? People just say whatever. So such people spread fake rumors about the other person to dishonor him and tell other people that he's very short-tempered. Don't marry your daughter to him. He fights. And at times this is a lie. Sometimes people say this because they have an old grudge, or sometimes for no reason. Or they have something hidden in their hearts and minds. Maulana Didar Ali Rahmatullah Alayh, who was perhaps the Muhaddith of Alipur, he was a very big scholar. He had friendship with Sadrul Afazil Maulana Sayyid Muhammad Naimuddin Muradabadi Rahmatullah Alayh. So he took him along with him to meet Imam Ahmad Raza Khan Rahimahullah, saying that he's a very big scholar. He's a grand scholar and a very noble person. So he also took his son along with him, Sayyiduna Abul Barakat Rahmatullah Alayh, whose shrine is in Lahore. There's also Darul Ulum Ahsanul Barakat. So it was the blessing of Allah Almighty upon him that he beheld Imam Ahmad Raza Khan Rahimahullah. The grand imam became very happy to see him. So since it was a scholarly family, a learned family, so in the very same meeting, Imam Ahmad Raza gave Khilafah to both of them, Maulana Didar Ali and Maulana Abul Barakat. What I can remember, that's how it is. The definition of a Muslim mentioned in a hadith is as following. that a Muslim is he from whose hands and tongue other Muslims' life, wealth, and honor are protected. But now all these things are in danger due to our own fellow Muslims. Such are the times. However, there are still good Muslims in the world. Alhamdulillah. So nevertheless, observe extreme caution in this regard. If you become angry, then just be quiet. Recite A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem. Perform wudu. Performing wudu also removes anger because anger is from Satan and Satan is fire. So in anger, a person becomes hot-tempered, he becomes heated up, and water cools him down. Sayyiduna Abdullah bin Umar radiyallahu anhuma narrates that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, a person suppressing anger for the pleasure of Allah Almighty, there is no action better than this in the court of Allah Almighty. As in someone became angry and he had this privilege, that he suppressed his anger, he observed patience. So there's no better action than this in the court of Allah. This is the importance of this very action. Sayyiduna Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu narrates that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has said, powerful is not he who's a wrestler who overpowers the other person. Rather, powerful is he who controls himself at the time of anger. So the one who controls his anger has been referred to as powerful in hadith. Let's say there's a bodybuilder or a wrestler and he grounds someone due to his power and strength. All this is separate. But truly powerful is he who controls his anger. A wrestler, after becoming angry, would just beat up the other person. They can break bones, etc. due to their training. All this would happen when they're angry, or they would throw down their opponent forcefully on the ground. And the one who controls his anger, even if he's weak and thin, he's powerful. There are questions in a test. Now, will you argue with the examiner that why did you ask this question? So why do you attend the class? Why did you come to sit in the exams? This world is a test, as it states in Quran, الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. He who created death and life to test you as to which of you is better in virtue. As in who out of you performs righteous deeds. So controlling your anger for the sake of Allah Almighty is also a righteous deed. So you can say that the one who's making you angry is sort of persuading you towards righteousness. It is as if he's saying to you that, do you have the skills to earn reward? Let me make you angry and you earn reward. Obviously saying this won't make a person angry, but I'm just saying to explain you that try to take it this way when someone is making you angry. Everyone faces such matters where they become angry. Now take the example of when there's a traffic jam. Then you will see some foolish angry people who swear and abuse for no reason. At times they'll swear at the traffic, at times they'll swear at the police, at times they'll swear at the car ahead of them. They just keep uttering nonsense for no reason. These people don't even understand that because of their such behavior, their car will get wings and they'll start flying. That's not the case, there are cars ahead of them. In this case, you have no other choice than just observing patience. One should observe patience and earn reward. You should turn on a sunnah-inspired speech and keep listening to it. Or play a naat of the Prophet. There's no solution to it. Once the traffic is jam, it's jam. You can't do anything. Even if we beat someone, we still can't get out of the traffic, can we? So don't lose your anger there. This is a test for you. Try to stay quiet when there's a traffic jam. Salvation lies in silence. Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ala Muhammad.
Question in the court of the Amir of Al-Sunnah is that, are there any permissible cases of getting angry as well? This question has arisen in the light of the discussion that is going on in relation to anger. So are there any permissible cases of anger too?
Anger in its own is permissible. How's that? One became angry. Now we don't have any control over it. The noble awliya can also become angry, and many other elite individuals can also become angry. Now, the question is that how should one react in anger? Siddiqeen are the highest level of the honorable awliya, the most elite of the awliya. Like Sayyidina Ghawth al-Azam rahimahullah was a Siddiq. So the greatest of all the awliya is Siddiq. Siddiq is his rank. So Imam Ahmad Raza says that Siddiqeen say that we also become angry when you see any such signs in state of others, then move aside from us. You don't know what they end up saying. The scholars also get angry if they talk to you strictly. Even then, don't let go of the scholars. From them, try to take benefit, like understanding the rulings of Sharia, etc. Learn religion from them. Satan the Accursed will make you run away from them, saying that he's full of anger. He told me off, I'll never go back to him. These are satanic whispers, not your own thoughts. Because for you, your own good is attached with a scholar. You are to learn Sharia from the scholar. How to work towards our hereafter, we are to learn from them. And if you stop learning from them, then you'll be misguided from the right path. So it doesn't matter even if they get angry or scold you a bit. No matter what, if you remain in their feet, you'll get to the destination. Ulama, the scholars, are those whom we will even need in Jannah, in paradise. It's in a hadith. We will need scholars in paradise in this way that Allah the Almighty will say to the dwellers of paradise that ask whatever you want. So then they will come in the court of the scholars. Your Honor, please tell us, what shall we ask for? Then they will tell us that ask for this, ask for that. So remember that a scholar is a scholar. May Allah Almighty keep us associated with the scholars. But bear in mind that even Satan is a scholar. So avoid going to every scholar. Go to a scholar who is devotee of the Prophet. Stay closely associated with a scholar who follows the Imam of Ahlul Sunnah, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahimahullah. Otherwise, there are many who say all sorts of things. May Allah forbid regarding the Sahaba, regarding the Prophet, regarding the Ahlul Bayt. So make sure that you stay distant from such so-called scholars. Go to the one who is prophetic devotee and a true Sunni, and he who follows Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahimahullah. This is what I would advise you, that adopt the company of such scholars of Islam. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.
Having a smiling face is a first introduction of one's personality. According to psychologists, if one looks at someone with a smiling face, this is normally seen as a gesture of consent, friendship, and sign of good feelings for other person. According to one research, when a person becomes angry, 43 muscles of his face are used and become active, whereas when a person smiles, his 17 muscles are used only. According to different research conducted, children smile or laugh 400 times daily, whereas this average of smiling or laughing in elders is only 20 times a day. Even if one smiles without any particular reason and tries to adorn his face with smile, brain releases a plethora of feel-good chemicals that improve one's mood and overall health. Smiling helps one to take decisions easily. If one maintains this habit of smiling for long term, then this can protect one from many illnesses. So smiling is a natural drug. It is such a natural drug which does not cost anything, but this medicine provides many benefits. I would like to ask from Amir of Ahlul Sunnah that where there are so many attributes associated with your beautiful personality, one of them is a smiling face. In other words, we can say you're known for your smiling face. That really soothes many people across the globe and becomes means of motivation for them. Your smile provides passion to do more for many. Can you please tell us, is there any food which we can eat or formula we can follow so that we also have a smiling face like you? And could you also mention a few good intentions that we can make while smiling so we can also earn reward because of those intentions?
Allah Allah, mashallah. This is a beautiful topic. Smiling indeed is a beautiful practice. It removes the grief of the other person, but it should be as per situation. Now let's say if there's a fire or a dead body in front of you, someone's young son has passed away, you go for condolences and dead bodies lying around. Now if you smile at this occasion, it wouldn't work. So it depends on the situation. As at this occasion, you have to bring the signs of sadness on your face. You have to make a sorrowful face. This is very important. At this occasion, they will be converted through your sorrowful face. Your smiley face at this occasion wouldn't work for the one who's overly grieved. So depending on the situation, but such situations don't come often. Smiling is the sunnah of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. So one should smile with the intention of acting upon the sunnah. But it's obvious that smiling would be in front of another person. Laughing in solitude when you're alone, I've not heard nor read anywhere if it is also a sunnah. Sometimes people smile without any reason, and at times people smile sarcastically. This kind of a smile could also become a means of hurting someone's feelings. Remember that smiling as an act in its own is not harmless. Now, a person in whose house there has been a death and there's a dead body lying there, for him, smiling at this occasion would be a cause of harm. Likewise, if you smile in front of someone sarcastically, this is also a cause of pain for him. However, such situations seldomly arise. Mostly, the situation is to smile properly. So one should smile. I recall one account in this regard. A young man came to me saying that everyone turns against me, and he seemed educated the way he was speaking. So he said that everyone at home, all my friends, everyone turns against me. They become angry of me, they oppose me, they abandon me. So I just judged him a bit psychologically. And I asked him, do you know how to smile? Listening to this, he gave half a smile, even then not a proper one. So even after that, he didn't give a proper smile. And then he said it himself that this is the problem, that I just don't know how to smile. So just imagine if a person has a big face made up and is frowned all the time, as if he's enraged or infurious. One may think to himself that what did we do that he's so enraged and infurious with us and he's giving us dirty looks? And the other person wouldn't even have these kinds of feelings in his heart. And we on our side would be thinking that what's wrong with him? What happened to him? He's in an angry mood all the time. Although the other person is not angry, and regarding a person who smiles, the other person doesn't even think about him that he's angry. So nevertheless, we should try to keep smiling. Sayyiduna Abu Darda radiyallahu anh is an illustrious companion of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. His wife Umm Darda radiyallahu anha said to him that whenever I look at you, you're smiling. What's the reason? So he radiyallahu anh replied that whenever I looked at the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, I saw him smiling. Sayyiduna Jarir bin Abdullah radiyallahu anh, a similar account is found for him as well. He radiyallahu anh basically narrates this narration that whenever I saw the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, I saw him smiling. So the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam would smile frequently. It is also proven for him to cry in the fear of Allah. There are narrations for it as well. Now that's a different state altogether. Now crying while smiling normally doesn't happen in general, but sometimes it does happen, but not generally. So he would smile more. The Imam of Ahlu Sunnah, Imam Ahmad Reza Khan rahimahullah, presents the medium of the smile of the Holy Prophet in the court of Allah Almighty. He says, Ya ilahi jab bahe aankhein hisab-e jurm mein un tabassum rez honton ki dua ka saath ho. Meaning that when my sins get revealed and when I would be crying due to my sins on the day of judgment, this is the humility and Allah's fear of the Imam of Ahlu Sunnah. So he says that when my sins get revealed on the day of judgment, on that very day may the dua of the sacred and blessed smile-spreading lips be by me. Duas like Rabbi Ummati, O Lord my Ummah, O Lord my Ummah. And when the Ummah will cross the bridge of Sirat, his dua will be Rabbi Sallim Ummati, that O my Lord, make my Ummah cross safely. So, at that time, may these du'as help me out, protect me, and may all sins be concealed and no punishment is given. And as for what the brother said during his discussion regarding smiling in solitude, that it has such and such benefits, I've heard this for the first time. Allah knows the best. However, this is for sure that if a person smiles in solitude and another person watches him, then he'll say to others that he's maybe become a psychological patient. I saw him, he was smiling in solitude. He kept smiling whilst he was on his own. I don't know what's gone wrong with him. Is he okay? When he speaks sensibly. But today something happened to him. Now double check what science says on this. Scientific theories do keep changing, isn't it? Allah knows the best. I'm not denying or refuting a theory that has been presented. I'm just presenting my own concern that people may feel a bit awkward.
Both attributes of Prophet of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam have been mentioned. Number one is his habit of smiling. And the other is da'imul fikr and tawilul huzn, meaning he alayhi salatu wasalam used to remain concerned and worried regarding the matters of his ummah. Here the commentators of Shamail al-Tirmidhi write, whenever Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wasallam would be in people, he alayhi salatu wasalam used to smile. Mostly habit of smiling face used to remain dominant. And in loneliness, Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam used to remain worried and concerned regarding matters of his ummah.
Subhanallah, Sayyiduna Abdullah ibn Harith ibn Juz says that I have not seen anyone more smiling than the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Hadith of Tirmizi. Furthermore, it is stated in the 8th volume of Miratul Manajih that smiling freshens up a person's own heart. And it, meaning smiling, pleases the heart of the addressee, meaning the one who is addressed. It further states that excessive laughing and laughing out loud makes the heart dead, meaning excessive laughing. And laughing out loud such that other people can hear you, this makes the heart dead. 1. Hadith. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam has said, your smiling in front of your brother is sadaqah, and commanding for good is sadaqah, and forbidding from evil is sadaqah. Jami' Tirmidhi. Similarly, there's another hadith in this regard, that smiling is from Allah Almighty, and laughing out loud is from Satan the Accursed. Laughing out loud nowadays is very common and prevalent in our society. It has been considered to be from Satan, and it is not a sunnah either, as the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam never laughed out loud. Having said that, bear in mind that laughing out loud is not a sin. If you see an imam of a masjid laughing out loud, which you will generally see the majority doing in our society, and then you say that salah will not be valid behind this imam, then there is nothing as such, as laughing out loud is not a sin either, but it's not good either. So if you start practicing it, then gradually you will develop this habit. For example, you want to invite someone towards good one-to-one, individual effort. Smiling is its soul. It will be fruitless if you do so with a made-up face. He won't come close to you. In fact, if you just meet the other person with a smile, it will have long-lasting effects.
The way you shook hand properly, like this proper shake hand. But normally people, how do they shake hands? They just touch hands. Very slight touch and they move on.
People like us do it like this. Kiss it as you walk past. Honestly, I recall one old account of mine. I once said something between a few people, and what I said, that wasn't wrong. But there was one young man who couldn't understand and absorb what I said. He became so upset with me that after all this happened, then one of his friends told me about it. That he said that he will never come to you guys again. This is what he said. Then he told me of another instance, which even I don't remember myself. He said that you were coming from one side and he was coming from the other side, and you met him in your normal way, the way you normally meet people, wholeheartedly, pleasantly, and with a smile. The way I usually meet. I don't meet as much now as it's gone too crowded. So he told me that he once again became impressed, and he thought to himself that these people are very polite, kind and nice. I shouldn't be leaving them. I won't leave them and go anywhere. So this way he came back. Then what I had actually said, he understood and absorbed it duly and perfectly, meaning that he now fully agreed with it. He didn't disagree anymore. He 100% agreed to it. And he agreed to it such that no one else agreed to it as much as he did. So at times this does happen. So meeting someone with a smile, meeting with affection, changes the state of a person's heart. Alhamdulillah. So adopt this practice. On the screen I could see the scenes of smiley faces. But I also do understand that this was just for the time being. Only until this discussion was taking place. After this, it will be the same old, can't you see? Are you blind? Why are you taking up the whole space? Can't you sit down properly? Don't you have any manners? Move away. Give me some space. So we'll return back to this attitude. May Allah forbid. Some of the people, not all of them. This does happen. What I'm saying. Look, I'm also from amongst you guys. I do know what conversation is taking place. So this shouldn't happen. Just keep a beautiful smile. Smile does not appear whilst beating someone. Smile appears whilst being affectionate and kind. Smile appears whilst talking affectionately. So learn how to smile and develop the habit of smiling forcefully. In the beginning, you will forget to smile, then it will come back, then you'll forget. But then gradually, insha'Allahul Kareem, you'll develop this habit. Everyone should try for this. There are big influential personalities who do not smile much, and consequently their impression is not as good, and those people who are amicable, their impression stands out on others. This applies to both religious as well as non-religious worldly people. So you would see that people are with those who smile. If a spiritual guide also smiles, then he will also be successful in this field and have numerous disciples. Honestly, now the shopkeeper who keeps smiling, his customers will also increase. Well, shopkeepers do normally smile. They do give respect to the customers for the sake of their business. But if the customer says something that is against their nature, and when they would completely lose it out, then they would also kick the customer out of the shop. So this shouldn't be the case. This can happen with a fake smile, but not with a genuine smile. So nevertheless, learn how to smile. A course for smiling should be designed for 7 days, for 12 days, or it could be for 72 hours, just 3 days. A course for how to smile. There's one Islamic brother, he's a responsible Islamic brother. So I sent him a message, a voice message. In a message, I normally narrate a narration. So I sent him, as per his condition, excellence of smiling. So he then told me afterwards that you caught me right. Then when I started to smile, my cheeks started to hurt. And I think with his permission, I forwarded that voice message to Haji Imran as well. If you remember, do you recall?
And he had also mentioned about his nature and habits, hadn't he?
So now he started to smile and now his cheeks would hurt. Initially, in the beginning, this would happen. He was a truthful person that he said that his cheeks started to hurt. But this was eventually beneficial. Even an enemy becomes your friend. If you don't smile and have a face made up, then even your friends will distance away and you will remain alone. There's a Gujarati saying which means, if you smile, if you keep smiling, your home will flourish. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad.
Madani muzakira. Madani muzakira. Madani muzakira.